You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When Chrysler Corporation decided to close one of its St. Louis plants, the local newspaper ran a story that said, "The closing of Chrysler Corporation Plant No. 1 in Fenton on November 9th will cost the area 12,636 jobs and $3.8 billion annually in lost sales. It may also lead to several suicides and hundreds of divorces." When McDonnell Douglas Corporation announced the layoff of over 4,000 people in St. Louis, one employee was told that it was his job to tell a large number of people that they were no longer employed. The same man was also told by a reliable insider that he too would be laid off after he had done the hatchet job. He went home and told his wife he couldn't do that, and therefore he was going to kill himself. Thank God, a Christian neighbor came and talked this employee out of his plan. These are people who feel victimized by big business. How many times don't we feel that employers regard us as discardable objects? How many times doesn't the impersonal nature of work make us feel unwanted? How many times don't people who run a household feel unappreciated? You don't have to be laid off to say, "It's just not fair the way they treat us." Many a time you'd like to sprout wings and fly away from the disappointments of the workaday world. If we knew how, we'd love to surmount the agonies and injustices of life with a more optimistic outlook. Workers who have been laid off, workers who are stressed and unhappy with their job, workers who have retired and have lost their reason for living, these are unhappy people. Is there any one of us who does not want to rise above the difficulties? I know that it sounds like a make-believe cartoon, but all of us would like to have an upbeat attitude that makes us whistle while we work, or whistle while we're unemployed, or whistle whenever. We yearn to be bigger than the problems we face in our workaday world. How to get that attitude is what my message today is about. Today, the Bible offers you a vision of God's great and good things that can help you overcome the hurts and disappointments of your work and life. Today, I hope you'll take a step toward whistling more and pouting less about work. To do that, you need a vision. A vision of great and good things that literally overwhelms the problems in your life. Such a vision of great and good things means watching for God. The idea that workers should watch for God comes from Jesus. In Mark chapter 13, he tells us this parable. "No one knows about that day or hour, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be careful and watch, because you do not know when it will happen. It is like a man who went on a trip. As he left home, he put his slaves in charge, assigned work to each one, and ordered the doorkeeper to watch. Therefore, watch, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at the time when the rooster crows, or early in the morning. Make sure he does not come suddenly and find you asleep. What I tell you, I tell everyone, watch." According to the parable, the boss left and put the slaves in charge. Wouldn't you like to be in charge? Did you ever dream about calling the shots where you work? Imagine, you're the boss of a Fortune 500 company. Even a smaller company would do. Or, if you're the CEO of the company, did you ever dream that every employee would respond enthusiastically to your every goal and project? When it comes to work, most people would like to be in charge. If you can't be in charge of the company, at least you like to feel in charge of your life. Maybe your upward mobility has stopped. Maybe you've gotten as close to the corporate chambers of power as you're going to get. Maybe you've gone up the corporate ladder and discovered too late that it was leaning against the wrong wall. At least you want to feel in charge of your own life. At least in some areas, you don't want to answer to anyone. If your goal is to be in charge of your life and not answer to anyone, except maybe the boss and the IRS, then meeting God is going to be a rude awakening. God asks you to render an account of your life. Now, what will you say? I did this and I did that. I tried my best toward my family. I tried to lead a good life. Oh, I know I didn't get everything right, but on average, I did pretty good. Then God says, pretty good isn't good enough. I've followed you over the years. I've heard all your words. I've seen all your actions. I know the thoughts in your mind. I've felt the angers and hatreds and the jealousies in your heart. You think you were pretty good? Why do you think you should enter heavenly glory now when you have fallen so far short of my glory during your life? If you aim to be the one in charge of your life, you're dreaming. When your Lord comes for you, the awakening will be rude. It's the ultimate pink slip to be rejected by God. Which is why you are so privileged right now. The problems that you experience in your work and life are urgent pleas that you know when all is said and done, your life and work belong to God. Rather than resent the hurts and disappointments that work sometimes inflicts, use them as incentives to look more to God. You've probably heard the expression, when life puts a stumbling block in front of you, turn it into a stepping stone. Sometimes God takes away our props that we might lean on Him, allows temptation so we'll grow and triumph over sin. Sometimes He takes away our strength for doing earthly things to rest our bodies, that our souls may soar on eagle's wings to heights ne'er dreamed when busyness did all our vision fill. Let's not resent it when He says, come ye apart, be still, nor chafe at disappointments and unexplained delays, but keep on soaring 'neath His wings with gratitude and praise. When you start looking to God for help, then your eyes are beginning to look in the direction of the only one who can overwhelm the disappointments of your work and life with a far greater good. It's a start, knowing that ultimately you are not in charge and have to answer to God. But it's only a start, somewhat like going to the eye doctor and trying to read the fuzzy letters. You're looking in the right direction now, but the vision is still not clear. Looking to God is looking in the right direction for great and good things. But to get a clear vision, to get an accurate perception, you need to focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the focus of a clear and sharp vision of great and good things that can help you surmount the disappointments of the workaday world. God sent His Son Jesus into this world because so many things are so bad in so many lives. All that is bad is connected in some way or other with sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It's thinking that we're in charge when ultimately God is in charge. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ received that payment for your sins when He died on the cross. He received the just payment of the Holy God against your sins. The fact that God raised His Son on Easter shows that the wage of sin had been paid. The work that God sent the Savior to do had been finished. Eternal death is replaced by eternal life. And what does it mean that the resurrected Christ ascended into heaven? It means, as the Bible says, this Jesus who was taken away from you to heaven will come back in the same way you saw Him go into heaven. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is in charge of things in heaven and things on earth. And Jesus will come to take His followers into glory. That's why He says to you, watch. Because you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at the time when the rooster crows, or early in the morning. Make sure he does not come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Watch. The way we watch is to pray daily. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his followers to watch and pray. To be able to overwhelm the hurts and disappointments of your life and work requires daily prayer. You rise each morning to go to the office, to go to school, to go to the factory, to go to your volunteer work, to go about the endless tasks of household management. You rise daily to face these huge challenges. Shouldn't you pray? Before you face the world, shouldn't you speak to the Creator of the world? Before you are tempted to sin or are hurt by the sins of others, shouldn't you pray to the Savior from sin for His help? Before you get into the toils of the day, the labors that wear your bodily energies down, shouldn't you go to the Spirit for the strength of faith and the confidence that will overwhelm the problems of the day? Shouldn't you pray? And not only pray, but also open the Bible and let God focus your thoughts on the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the parable that Jesus told, the slaves were told to watch for the master's return, but they had no way to communicate daily with the master. How blessed you and I are that we not only wait for our God to come and give us heavenly joy and rest from our earthly labors, but we can communicate with our returning Savior each day. We can speak to Him in prayer. We can read and hear His sustaining words in the Bible. A popular poem called The Difference puts it this way. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Now why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Whether you're going to work or to the unemployment office, whether you work in or out of the home, whether you're under or over the retirement age, prayerful watching for the Savior can provide the vision of great and good things that can enable you to surmount the disappointments and frustrations of the workaday world. I presume that you do not want to spend your days like the Hubble telescope, unfocused, useless, waiting for a rescue mission to give it vision. That's not the way you want to be. You want to be focused. You want to be useful to society. You want, I trust, to make a difference while you live. You can, and you will, as long as you prayerfully remember the Savior's rescue mission that enables you to fix your vision on the great and good things of God. Whistle while you work? Not always. We're not in heaven yet. It would be nice if we didn't have to go to the unemployment office. It would be nice if we had no aggravations and troubles at work. It would be nice if age did not rob us of the strength to work and work hard as we did when we were younger. It would be nice if we would always have a whistle on our lips instead of a pout on our face. No, I don't think we'll be whistling all the time. But most of us could do better than we do. The way to do that is to take our mouths and praise more. Take our broken hearts to Him who alone can comfort, and give ourselves daily to our good God in prayerful watching. Amen.